Just while they're handing out, it was so amazing. Now when Jerusha was praying, I was actually thinking now the exact words, exact song is so profound. Just to be the center of our lives. And even as she was praying now, I thought like she took the words out of my mouth. Like, just how important it is to make God that center of our lives. Because from that place, everything that we do and everything that we're going to speak of is going to come from. And so I just want to honor you for your, even though it was your first time this morning, just honor you for your obedience in singing that song. And I really felt it really wasn't God's heart for us to proclaim that. Okay, so this morning, this is also my first sermon, so I'm feeling the same as Jerusha. I'm going into a new territory here. But I'm actually glad it's a smaller group. It's making it a little bit easier for me. So the topic for today, some of the ladies that are here, I spoke about it a few weeks ago. And it was so funny, I kept feeling, okay, I need to think of some kind of topic now to do this morning, and God just kept saying, no, I'm not done with this, you're going to do it again. So if you were here on that night, you're going to hear some of it again. But the reason behind it is just because of what God's been doing for the last few weeks and the last month in our church. The topic that I'm going to talk about is the power of the tongue. I'm also quite in love with pictures, visuals, so every verse will have a picture. It's just how my mind works. I can't not have the two together. So hopefully some of you can be able to relate to that. But basically just why I felt God wants to talk about it is the fast weekend was just amazing for me. I don't know who of you were actually there. I can't remember not every single person, but it really blessed me. And the biggest thing of it was just to see how God is always in season. You know, He always knows better, His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, and it was so profound for me to see that, you know, He would take us onto Signal Hill, the whole church, and we went up there, and we really proclaimed the goodness of God, and who He is, and I just realized, oh my goodness, this gift that God has given us, the power of the tongue, really has so much more authority, and so much more value than we realize, and we really take it for granted a lot of the times, and after that weekend, I just really felt God wants us to understand what we did, and not just because someone facilitated us to do it and because it was an amazing weekend for us, but to really understand that speaking life and worshiping in church and giving thanks publicly and repenting publicly actually has an immense power, and it's something that we can make a part of our lifestyle. So that's what I want to focus on today. The first scripture that I want to share with you is Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I couldn't really find a picture that was someone else's fruit, but the burger just worked for me. So in my case, I would say, and those who love it will eat the burger, because it just makes sense. But basically, I want us to look today at the difference between a tongue that is edifying and a tongue that is actually destructive, because that is the power of what we say. And we really speak quickly. You know, sometimes we just say things to people and we say things in church and we don't actually understand the power of every single word. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. So first I'm going to start with a story. I like stories, so I'm going to start with something that I like. So when I was studying, I studied musical theater in Pretoria. Basically, you have to specialize in singing, dancing, and acting. They call it triple threat. And for my whole life, I was someone that enjoyed music and singing, all those things. I come from a family that's also very musical. So it was just a part of my life. So I never really questioned it or thought, you know, am I actually good at it or not? It was just something that God had put in our hearts. And then when I went to the tech, about 6 months into my first year, the head of the department called me aside and just said to me, listen, Bob, you can't really sing, and you can't act, and you can't dance, but you have a face, so just kind of use that. And I remember that I never actually told anyone this, because I was so embarrassed by what he said, because all my friends were doing so well, you know, and they were really getting leads, and I was just kind of in the back the whole time. And the point of it is that it really crushed who I was. I actually believed the words that he spoke over me. And something like that, all of your stories like that, of where you worked somewhere, you studied somewhere, even a family member that just said something without thinking, because they can, And the next moment, the seed has been planted in your heart, and you actually make it a part of who you are. And that's what happened. So for the next 2 years, it affected everything that I did. I couldn't dance properly. I was striving so much for my flesh to prove to these people that I am supposed to be here. And the result was, it just got worse and worse and worse. I remember doing singing exams, and you know that expression of your knees start buckling? Well, literally, that was what happened. Like, no jokes. My knees were like buckling, my throat would just choke up, I couldn't sing. And the worst part for me was it also affected even being at church. I was in church, I was in the band, and I couldn't do what God wanted me to do because I kept hearing this voice, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, because that's actually what he was saying to me. And then, skip forward 2 years later, it was December, and I was sitting on the beach, and I remember I was just crying, and I said to God that, you know, I'm so tired of this. All I keep hearing is you're not good enough. No matter where I'm going to, this voice keeps speaking to me. And I didn't even realize at the time, you know, the power of that. I didn't know. It was just something that I felt. And God said to me, get baptized. And I was already baptized, but I realized in that moment it wasn't about just doing it. It really was about consecrating who I am to Him. And it was amazing. My family baptized me in the ocean, which is actually quite difficult because you have to time the waves and everything. And then afterwards, my dad prayed for me, and that's what I just want to hang on, is that he actually spoke in his prayer. He said, thank you, God, that I know that you love Anri for who she is. And he didn't even know. I mean, I didn't tell him about it. And as he said it, I could feel something in my heart just soften, something that wasn't there before just dropped into my spirit, and I knew, okay, this was God that just spoke to me. He used my dad, but it was God that spoke to me. And later that night, without thinking about it, I was just sitting on my bed, and I said to God, you know what? This is my last year, and I want this year to be one that I'm going to remember with joy. So I'm just going to consecrate this year to you, and everything that I do is going to be for you, and I don't care what anyone says. And it was something, again, I didn't like go and speak now every scripture in the Bible. I was just sitting and saying it, good morning. But actually, the effect of that was so powerful that when I went back, and I'm really not lying right now, I had my first singing lesson. This is the same teacher that saw me for the last 3 years, and I started singing, and she was like, what happened to your voice? Like, all of a sudden, my voice just came out. I don't know how to explain it now properly, but she said, what did you do? What did you do this holiday? And I said, I didn't do anything. In fact, I didn't even do any exercises. I did nothing. But it was obviously something that God just changed in my heart. There was a confidence that wasn't there because now I didn't care. I really didn't care what they think. And the same happened in my dancing. The same happened in my acting. All the teachers started coming to me like, oh, I can see you're working really hard, you know. And I would say, thank you. But I knew I wasn't actually. It was just something that I was enjoying it for the first time because I was doing it for God. And the amazing thing is it really affected, again, who I was and who I was at church. And it became so easy just to enjoy the gifts that God had given me and to just be myself around people because it wasn't that voice talking to me the whole time. So if you go to the next slide, Nelly. So I'm working from my phone here. It actually says in Proverbs 15, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And I mean, now when I read that, I realized, my goodness, this is exactly what happened to me. Is that that teacher, without thinking, said something that literally crushed my spirit. And our spirit is very much a part of who we are and who we start identifying ourselves of. And because of what he said, it became like a little bit of poison that infiltrated all of who I was. And the amazing thing is the second part of that, that the soothing tongue is a tree of life, is actually what happened on that day that God said to me, consecrate yourself to me. The words that my dad spoke, that God used them to speak over me, the words that I said over the year became the tree of life, and it changed who I was at that time. And the amazing thing for me is, while I was just doing research on this, I found this second scripture. In Isaiah 54, it says, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me. And for a long time I thought, but God, you knew this. You knew the whole time for 2 years why I was struggling and why nothing was happening. And when I read the scripture, I realized that this is what God was trying to tell me the whole time. I give you the authority. You need to refute the things that are not of me. And if you look at what we actually did over the fast weekend, that's exactly what we did. When Banner asked us to come to the front and actually repent publicly of things, that's what we did. We were going, this is the truth, I repent of it, move on, say it publicly, and then we gave thanks to God, which was so amazing. And I remember the whole weekend, I could see how everyone was getting, something was being stirred. And by the time we got to Sunday night, I mean, it was amazing because there was such a freedom because people had been speaking life the whole weekend. And maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, you know, all of a sudden remembering something that someone said to you. And I really want us to make time afterwards to rebuke those things. And it's something that you have to do to really go, this is God's voice and this is my voice. And something else that I realize is that if we're going to allow the world to speak over us the whole time, then that's the voice that we're going to hear. Because that's what happens. The more I allowed the teachers to speak over my life, the more they became the voice in my heart and in my head. And it wasn't God anymore. And when I was praying initially for the ladies, God actually showed me like all of the ladies walking in this thick cloud. And they couldn't hear and they couldn't see. And God said to me that this is what happens. The more you allow people to speak these things over you without rebuking it, without going, this is not from God, thank you, the more it's going to actually blind you and give you ears that are deaf and that cannot hear. And what we're not going to hear is actually the voice of God speaking over us. And now the scary thing is that, you know, it's easy to go, okay, well, this person said this over me, so I need to go and rebuke all these lies now. But what if the roles are reversed, and we are the ones speaking either truth over someone, or we are the ones bringing people down? And this was so beautiful for me in the next verse. In Luke 6, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks of what the heart is full. You know, and a lot of, I saw this morning, like a lot of the ladies and the parents that are here, you will really understand this. You know, for kids, they just open to receive. You know, they come to you running. They don't question you. They don't think about what you just said, filter it through something. They can't do that. What you say to them is what they're going to receive. And if you think about it, this is a lot what we do. Even though now we're supposed to be, you know, older and mature, we still allow what we say to just carelessly go out of our mouths. And God really convicted me about this. Like, what are you actually saying to people? You know, if I go home and Murray is my husband, you know, what is the first words that are coming out of my mouth? Am I honoring him, or am I scolding him about something that I'm irritated about? Or am I honoring him? You know, and I used the example the last time. It doesn't help for you to constantly focus on someone's faults. You know, he's also had a long day. He's also been to work. And he comes home, and the first thing you say is like, oh, look at the messy in the bathroom, and look at this. And but the problem with that is, all he's hearing is, I'm failing. You know, I've had a long day, and now I come home, and now I'm failing again as a husband. The same thing for us as women. You know, if you come home and all your husband is going to tell you is like, why hasn't the kids been fed? And look at the kitchen now, and why don't I have any clean underwear and things like that. Then all you're going to hear is, I'm not good enough. And so even more important to think about what we say. How do we speak to people? And that's why what we did this week in going up on Signal Hill and speaking life over the city was profoundly powerful. Because every time we said, you know, God, we pray for people to be uplifted, and we speak life over the Christians in the city, we speak life over the churches, you know, whatever the different prayers were, there was something powerful that God was doing. Life was being spoken, and it was like that, like a little child that just goes, okay, I hear what you're saying, I receive from what you're saying. And so the important thing for me with this scripture is, again, what is being stored up in our hearts? Because what is in our hearts is going to come out of our mouths. And what are we allowing to go into our hearts? And I think sometimes, you know, I spoke to my sister, she's got two little kids, and She said sometimes she gets so angry at herself because before she even thinks, she just wants to grab the child and go, stop screaming, like the harmony of time, or stop touching that, you're going to get sore, and then they fall, and they've got something on their head. And she told them, but the thing is, it's the way she says it. And it's so amazing, I've watched her, when she scolds them, she doesn't scream at them, she doesn't lose her temper, but I can see on her face that she's losing her temper, and she'll just literally go, Layla, look at me, stop it. And then Layla, and it's in that soft tone that you can hear there's authority, but she's not breaking the child's spirit. She's not going, you are stupid, stop it, you know, because that's our natural human reaction. If you look at Proverbs 12, verse 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And this shook me. Because basically God is saying to us, everything that comes out of your mouth is as sharp as a sword. And how important for us not to then spend time in the Word, which is the ultimate sword, and to make sure that we sharpen our tongues in the right way. Because the opposite is true as well. Our tongue will actually bring healing. You know, I thought so many times about what my dad did that day, and he doesn't even know it, and I should probably tell him. But he literally brought healing into my spirit. He literally spoke life over an area that was busy dying, and I didn't realize it. And I really want us to think today as well, like, when you go to work, what is the first thing that come out of your mouth? You know, we so often just go and complain about what we don't have. We complain about the taxis in the city. We complain about the weather. Oh, now it's sunny. Oh, again, the weather, you know. Or we complain about church. And I think one of the big things that God put on my heart is even us as churches in the city, we speak death over each other so quickly. You know, we're so quick to say, well, they don't do that, or we don't do this, or I'm rather just going to go to this conference because they speak amazing things, you know. Or, you know, instead of thinking about, I can actually speak life over them. And it was interesting, the group that I was in on the mountain, that was the one thing that kept coming up, speaking life over the other churches in the city. Because technically, God has given us brothers and sisters around us that we should edify. And I want to challenge us this morning, when you're driving back to your home today, and when you're going to work, what if you made the commitment for 24 hours to speak life? To actually not have one thing come out of your mouth that is not edifying. Everything just to exhort, to uplift. And I know the challenge is going to be exactly when you get into the street, someone drives in front of you. That's definitely not edifying that comes out of your mouth. But what if we turn around and you actually bless the guy who's driving in the car in front of you? What if you go to work and the person that, you know, is irritating next to you because they're coughing all the time? I don't know what things would irritate you. But instead of getting angry at them, what if you actually bless them? Or your boss? You know, I think a lot of us sometimes think, oh, you know, I just don't want to work here. But what if you went back and you started claiming your office for God and going, God, this is going to be an office where people feel appreciated, where they love, where we go for things big because we want to honor you, where you are going to be honored. It doesn't matter if everyone around you is not saved. It's about you. God has given you the authority to speak life. And that's why I love this image as well with the Father and the Son. Sorry, I know. Because basically, I love the concept of this dad picking up the child and go, you know, you can see the whole look in his eyes. It's like, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You can see the only place where this child wants to be is with his father. And that for me is just a small little picture of what God wants to do through us. Every time we go somewhere, every time we meet someone, do you take the time to actually recognize the gift in this other person? You know, there's a difference between flattery and actually giving someone a proper compliment. But I'm not talking about flattery. I'm not talking about something superficial. I'm talking about going, yes, Altus, you have an amazing way of making people feel important when you're around them. And I mean that. Or going, Cora, you really are gifted when it comes to interpreting things and explaining things. You know, do we actually take the time to do that? Or are we just rushing through the day and rushing through the week and just complaining about everything instead of going, God, I can change the things and the people around me just by speaking life over them. And then the last scripture. And I love this. Psalm 12 verse 6, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. And when I read this, I read it again, and I read it again, because something of this clicked. There's no way that I'm going to get my mouth to speak things that are beautiful and pure if I'm not going to spend time with God. And this was the biggest challenge for me. Like, if I want to be more like God, and the scripture says, be holy for I am holy, how do I actually do that? By spending time with God. I'm going to say this again. We need to spend time in His presence. That's why you'll know if you were part of the past weekend. That's why that there was so much momentum. Because a whole weekend, we put aside everything else to spend time in His presence. And how easy it was to just worship Him. How easy it was to pray. How easy it was to spend time reading. Because that's all we focus on for the whole weekend. And for me, I want to speak like that. I said to God, God, how can I get my words to be flawless, to be purified through gold? You know, how am I actually going to do that? And the same thing kept coming up. Spend time in my presence. Spend time in my presence. And that, again, ties up for me with what is stored up in our hearts. You know, we all know that life is busy, and we have lots of things to do, especially the parents will be able to tell us, it's really busy. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you have 10 minutes to spend time in God's Word. And I understand that. We all understand that. But the thing is, if we want to get this right, if we want our words to be refined, if we want our heart to be stored up with the goodness of who God is, we need to spend time in His presence. And the amazing thing is, the more we spend time in His presence, the more we store up of who He is, the more it's going to affect the people around us. And again, I actually asked my sister if she would mind me sharing this. She said it's fine, but she went through a time where she didn't spend time with God. It was just too hectic. Both her kids had colic, and it was just crazy. There wasn't any time to do anything else but try and get the house to be calm and all of that. And her husband also works from home, so it was chaos. And I remember every time we visited them, we all would be worried because we're saying we can actually see the effect it was having on them. They all looked drained and looked tired. And then in the beginning of the year, God really stepped in and He said to them, you need to draw close to me now, because it was affecting the kids as well. And what an amazing testimony. If you were to see them now, it's like a different family. Because all they've done differently is spending time with God. And you can see it in the kids. All of a sudden, the kids have started worshiping. Apparently, the little boy is going to be a drummer. He just wants to whack everything that has something that sounds like a drum. The little girl is dancing. And the past weekend, I saw photos on the George Show, I think, where she was running with flags and dancing. And again, I thought, sure, God, what would they have missed out on if they didn't take the time to go, this is important. Yes, our family is important, and yes, it's hectic. Everyone's screaming, and they're hungry, and there's nappies to be changed. But this is important, to spend time, because it actually was affecting who they were as a family. So, yeah. The words of the Lord are flawless. They are silver purified in the crucible, like gold refined 7 times. And that's what I want us to take home with us today. God has a desire for us to speak like this. To speak things that are refined. To speak flawlessly. But the only way we can do it without striving from our flesh is by tapping into Him and spending time in His presence. And that will automatically affect the areas we live in, where we work, when we come to church. Now, this is why I love worship. Because for me, it's not just, okay, let's sing a lucky song, God of Wonders, Beyond Our Galaxy, let's get the song done because I'm so over this. I'm speaking life. I'm saying God of Wonders, You are holy. The universe declares Your majesty. So every time I sing, that's what I'm thinking. I'm busy declaring this over the city. When we sang, be the center, the same thing happened now. God, be the center, because from that place, the rest will happen. The rest will become flawless. So I'm going to ask Jerusha to play Be the Center, if she doesn't mind. And I just want everyone to stand with me quickly. And I just want us to sing the song again this morning. I actually felt I don't want to do a ministry call or something like that, I really felt God wants to say this to us, that we need to just declare it, to actually speak it this morning, to say that He must be the center, that He must be enough for us, that from that place everything is going to change. And just while everyone's eyes are closed, I realize that some of you might have had experiences in the past where someone spoke seriously hurtful things over you and planted seeds of poison in your heart. But again, like that scripture said, you must refute these things that have been spoken over you. And I want us to do that during the worship. If you're standing here and you know, yes, God, I can actually now remember clearly these things that were spoken over me, bring it to God right now in the worship. By singing the song, by saying, be the center. God, I rebuke these lies, and I proclaim that you are the center. The same thing with, if you know today that you have been speaking death over people, especially the ones that we love, because it's always the easiest, or just speaking death generally, repent, bring your heart before God, and just declare for Him, God, be the source, be the light in my life, because that's what I want to speak. That's the refined words that I want to come out of my mouth. And finally, just as we're going to sing this, if you know you are the one that are speaking death over yourself, that you're constantly being your biggest critic, that everything that you do goes through this filter where you say to yourself, ah, it's not good enough, you know, I'm not good enough. Again, bring that before God, because all those voices are not Him. His voice is pure. It's flawless. And I pray that this morning as we sing this, that you will be able to recognize the voice of God and be able to discern and just bring your heart before the Lord.